Hi guys, we hope you're enjoying the show you're listening to now. We have a show that we think you might like. I'm Alan.
I'm the Grizz.
And we present a show called Rise of the Robots,
where we cover such robot combat shows as
Robot Wars,
BattleBots,
King of Bots,
and BuggleBots,
where we recap these shows and review them, and document the rise of the robots.
You can find us on your podcast app of choice or at audioboom.com. Just search for Rise of the Robots.
I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you're listening to the DCAU podcast. This week we are covering Suicide Squad, Hell to Pay.
Yeah, I have nothing to say until we get into it. It's very hard to like follow your, this is what we're doing. But you'll get to hear all my views about Suicide Squad.
And you won't, we won't just hear your views, we're joined by a special guest. So joining us is my other podcasting partner. I'm just trying to think of a way to present it.
That's kind of fun anyway.
Trenton more upset.
No. So joining me is my other podcasting partner. Yes, I am having a podcasting menage a trois from the Voice of the Robots podcast. It's the Grizz.
Okay.
Aloha. I feel like you really need to put just that bit more in the title. It's like Suicide Squad, Hell to Pay.
I know. It's a big title for a smallish film.
I mean,
Never ever heard someone sit so jollily saying "hell to pay."
This is a film that kind of right. So this is the second and final time we're doing a Suicide Squad movie.
Final, excellent.
It's also, I think, it's interesting because when I first watched this. The only other two Suicide Squad films I'd seen, well, the only other two that exist, were Assault on Arkham, which is a bit meh, and Suicide Squad by David Ayer, which is bad. And since then, we've actually had a decent one come out. So, when I first saw this, this was like, oh my god, this is an actual semi-decent Suicide Squad film. That's interesting. Though I will say, so I did contact Jordan about appearing on this podcast, and one thing he did mention, he hadn't seen this film, but he said, oh, the storyline's a Secret Six storyline.
Oh, is it?
I know that the card certainly is, which obviously Secret Six, one of the members is Scandal Savage.
Yeah.
So this film starts with a Task Force X mission where only one person survives.
Because that's how they all start.
Black Manta survives as well, actually, to be fair.
As you just say, like, only one person survives, and it's like, huh, it's the one character that we've definitely seen before, and then these other people.
Yeah, these randos are just there to die.
So it's Count Vertigo, Punch, and Julie. Right? Punch and Julie are Captain Atom enemies, generally.
Better they're called Punch and Judy. I know they're not connected, but it just made me laugh.
Yeah. I think Count Vertigo's Green Arrow. So at least they're not just doing that thing of let's just have all the Batman enemies.
I know, but they were so uninteresting that I didn't really care where they came from. Like I knew they were gonna die. Like I knew whatever team you get in the beginning gonna die anyway. And we're gonna have to watch them explode because it's so edgy and cool.
Yep. Though the one thing we do get is as close to a Save the Cat moment as we're going to get, which is Deadshot decides to mercy kill Julie before her head goes pop.
And I thought early on it was like, oh, well, okay, still they have kind of a little bit of, like, you know, like panning the camera away, so like you don't just see the head just go full on explode, and it's like, oh, well, okay, I guess they're still trying to keep it, you know, somewhat like not a hard R film. But and then you know, we get later on into the film's like, oh, never mind, they were just clearly holding off on that for
that. That's the one thing I do have an issue with, is with the greatest deal of respect, if you're going to have a hard R animated film, The Suicide Squad is the right vehicle for it. Not Justice League Dark Apocalypse War, which is the one that's coming up, which is, as far as I recall, is probably the most violent movie we're going to do.
I mean, you might say that, but I can't think of one moment where anything R-rated would have improved this film. For me.
Oh, no, no, I'm not, I'm not saying it would have improved it.
I mean, like,
it,
I guess more swearing, maybe. Like, but I can't think anything visually that would have changed the feel of the film.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, like, I think I say this every time that I watch one of these. It's just like, every time there's, like, you know, a bit of swearing and a bit of blood, I'm kind of like, huh, wasn't expecting that. And then it kind of dawns on me again. It's like, yeah, these aren't just kids' films. They're there's definitely, like, substance. I mean,
to be fair, if parents are buying their kids a film called Suicide Squad, I'd be a bit worried.
Well, I don't know. I'd, like, remember when the first film came out and the amount of, like, children that dressed as people like Harley Quinn and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we then cut to a 3 years later. Amanda Waller has been diagnosed with a terminal illness, and she decides that what we need to do is she needs a Suicide Squad to do a mission.
To help her.
Meanwhile, we get...
Personally.
Yes. Which, I mean...
is about as corrupt as governments are, but it's just like, eh. She's just dying.
And also,
there was this one part where, like, Two-Face showed up for a couple of moments, and I thought, oh, is Two-Face going to be the main enemy in this?
No.
And then he was just never seen again after this.
Because what we instead get is we get, and do you know what, one thing I will say for this one, at least we get introduced to a bunch of characters that don't normally get featured.
Yeah, and a male stripper.
Yeah, well, yeah, we'll get to that bit. Such as Professor Pig.
Yeah, I don't like him. He creeps me out. I know it's the point, but I don't like him.
Professor Pig, I think it's a great concept, though it is very edgy.
I mean, I do get that's the point of him. I have no problem with him as a character. It's not like it works for me. It's inherently very creepy.
We also meet at this point. So Professor Pig is kidnapped.
Very hostile.
Yeah.
Hostile meets Saw kind of thing.
Mm.
Well, to be fair, this version of Professor Pig is quite tame.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I've read some of the comics with Professor Pig, and that's how I know it always creeps me out.
He's a Grant Morrison character, I mean, that's...
He doesn't really get to do anything in this film. Like, everything that...
he doesn't.
Everything that kind of happens with him is just him saying things like, oh, my job is my art and all that. And then, but, like, you never really get to see him, like... Because I'm assuming the whole gimmick with him is, like, he mutilates bodies and then, like, he's like, oh, it's beautiful, yada, yada. But, like, we never get to see anything like it.
He creates, I think there's maybe one point, of genderless automatons out of human flesh.
Yeah.
Ah. Sounds terrifying.
Yeah. deliberately modified so that they can't feel pain. So Professor Pig is kidnapped by Scandal Savage and Knockout. Now, I know this because I've looked it up. If you watch the film, you have no idea what either of them are called.
No, I didn't have any idea what either of them were called.
Yeah, there's literally one time in the film where they name these peeps, and I missed it when like taking notes of people's names. And I was like, ah, it's okay, they'll mention it again. And then they were never mentioned again. So I was just like, ah, the hot chick and the Wolverine chick.
Yeah.
That's what they refer to.
They're also both members, two of the common members of the Secret Six, because this is actually a Secret Six film, or it should be. So we then get introduced to our squad for this film. So it's Deadshot, Captain Boomerang, who I actually think this is the best version of Captain Boomerang I've seen.
Yeah, probably. Oh, I liked him in the films well enough. The live-action films, I should say.
So in 2 minutes, he gets to perform in the Suicide Squad.
I like him.
I think he's quite a lame superhero. It's just like, I have a boomerang. It's like, that doesn't necessarily make you a superhero.
Yeah.
No, but you know, I still like him.
So the rest of the team are Harley Quinn, who's there because we have to have Harley Quinn. Literally, she brings nothing to this film.
Yeah, she's pointless.
Yeah, this is definitely the most lacking Harley Quinn performance I've seen in these films so far.
And it's not even of the excuse of, well, we need to give Margot Robbie so that we've got some name value. There is no reason to have Harley here.
Yeah, like this one definitely was quite lacking, because when it started, it was like, oh, Harley's here. Like, I was enjoying it.
She didn't
Harley
really
Quinn.
Have any energy about her.
No, she had, like, she herself as, like, a character was quite lacking. Like,
that's what I meant. Sorry, like, that it just,
yeah.
There was no real spirit to her. It was just, oh, let's just chuck her in because people want to see Harley.
Yeah, because like comparing her to like say like the last couple of times that we've seen Harley Quinn on the episodes that I've watched with you, like the only kind of Harley Quinn thing she did was like very early on when the team were assembled and she's just like rolling around on a wheelie chair in the office while they're like getting their briefing, and then from then it's like most of the energy just kind of leaves from there.
Yeah.
So the rest of the team are Killer Frost, Copperhead, and Bronze Tiger, who I don't think Copperhead's shown up before on Earth, and we've done. Bronze Tiger seems to be, because I know Bronze Tiger's he appears in the Suicide Squad quite often, and he seems to kind of be one of the more, a bit like Deadshot. He's portrayed as a villain, but he's easy enough to kind of turn heel away. So the six of them are tasked with finding a card that belonged to Steel Maxim, who is a stripper. The strip club scene in this film isn't a male strip club, so hey, that's something.
That could
at
have
least.
Benefited from being R-rated.
I was going to say after the last time and the amount of Harley Quinn taking her shirt off, it's like,
it was dreadful, but I do appreciate that it was a male strip club. It there's still cartoon characters and who cares.
So there's also so we also have a gag of the team has been sent out in a Winnebago. And
they have chicken nuggies.
And we also have another faction showing up, which is Silver Banshee, Blockbuster, and Zoom.
I see Blockbuster. That guy's name was never mentioned once in this film.
I had no idea that was his name. What a stupid name.
Literally not even once. I had to like take notes of
What
him
does
as
he
Great
do?
Hulk.
Like, does he like spit out VHSs or something?
I'm
It only
actually
shows up
going to
3 days
look him up
at a time.
now because I don't actually know what he does. Blockbuster is Dick Grayson's arch enemy.
Is he? I mean, okay.
Well, he was the arch enemy to Nightwing at some point.
At some point, right, okay. I thought you meant like as in the Joker is to Batman. And I was like, okay, I think I've read more Nightwing than that, and I don't know, but you know.
He also apparently showed up in Batman Brave and the Bold and Scooby-Doo.
Okay.
That we just did.
Did they name him?
And
do we
I
know
think
his
it's
powers
just...
are, though? Like, I mean, I get he might be a Nightwing nemesis, but
I
powers?
Think he might have been the guy that was teamed up with Bane.
Okay.
Because that's... It basically, we need someone who's a big guy. Is pretty much the level he's involved.
Okay, so he's called Blockbuster because he's a big guy.
Yeah.
Probably. Okay.
He'll knock your block off.
Yeah.
So, Bronze Tiger seems to, at this point his gimmick is, he is purely there to clash with people and go, no, we're here to do a mission, we stick with the mission. Also, at some point, we get a mention that Harley Quinn was harassing the strippers, which is...
Possible.
If they'd swapped the genders, that would have been a lot more problematic, but...
It's problematic anyway, and... But
people
you know.
Don't care, and it's just used as a gag.
But it's Harley Quinn. She's funny and quirky.
But they should care, but yes.
Yeah. So... Just as they're about to leave the strip club, their target appears and is immediately attacked by Silver Banshee and Blockbuster.
Yeah.
And he's got some moves, though. I'm going to incorporate those moves into my next nightclub session. Not the outfit, though.
No. It might be a little tight.
I don't think I'll get away with it. I think I'll get away with the outfit now.
Yeah. So the fight's kind of going quite evenly until Zoom shows up and, unsurprisingly, the guy with super speed completely changes the fight. Because super speed is the most ridiculously overpowered power that's not Superman.
Probably the main reason why I hate Superman. He's too OP.
It's true, but not the podcast to say it on.
Definitely the podcast to say it on.
So, oh yeah, Harley Quinn does contribute someone. She saves everyone by driving the mobile home into the strip club.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
And Blockbuster's blocks get busted. Because we need to get a nutshot gag in somewhere. And it becomes...
Yeah, it was late on his fees, his returns. So he got late fees.
Meanwhile, it's clear that Zoom not all is well. And that he's not as fast as he should be.
Right, so what is the deal with Zoom?
Yeah, who cares?
Is he like the brother of the Flash?
Right, so Professor Zoom is a person who grew up in the 30th century who idolized the Flash.
Mm-hmm.
In the 13th century?
The 30th.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I misheard.
Who then decided to get Speed Force power so he could travel back in time to meet his idol. And then realized that he was actually the Flash's greatest nemesis. And he also, in several versions of, in several interpretations of the Flash, is the person that killed Barry Allen's mother.
Okay.
Include the TV show version of the Flash, for instance.
Hmm.
Which,
there we go.
He was not responsible in this reality, though.
Okay, so that's irrelevant right now.
That's irrelevant right now.
Just an interesting point, yeah.
Just an interesting... It was more just kind of small notes on Reverse Flash. Also, that's one thing I just realised. Chris, you've not watched Flashpoint, so something that comes up with a character will mean absolutely nothing to you.
I wouldn't worry about
that. Oh, no, I actually think Chris might like Flashpoint. Anyway.
Oh, well, feel free to explain when the moment comes up.
We will. So, the Suicide Squad interrogate the Steel Maxim, or whatever his name is, and it turns out that he used to be Dr. Fate.
Yes.
And that one of the items that he had in his house was a Get Out of Hell Free card. Which is
straight from Monopoly.
If you are holding it when you die, you go to heaven, no questions asked.
Because it's so nice that they believe in heaven and hell in this world. But yeah.
Well, I mean, we have evidence that hell exists.
Oh, no, we don't.
We have demons.
Oh, you mean in DC? Yeah, yeah, maybe. Yeah, but you know. I didn't realise how Christian the DC world was.
And they also have that shot of his, the biggest animated bulge I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. So, then what happened is that, for some reason, Dr. Fate decided that getting into a threesome of Knockout and Scandal Savage was a good idea. And he gets...
Seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yeah. And he was then kicked out of Dr. Fate duty, and he decided to hide by becoming a male stripper, which actually I can see the logic, kind of, if I squint.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, like, his logic is hiding in plain sight. It's like, well, yeah.
So... Amanda Waller offers Deadshot a decade off his sentence, which will be enough to free him, apparently, if they get this card. Because at first he's going, no, I'm not going up against Vandal Savage.
That's fair, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, that would be some sort of suicide mission.
If only these were suicide missions.
To be fair, the majority of them don't survive, generally.
I know. I would think make it so much better if none of them did, ever. Then I wouldn't mind, you know. It would just be funnier to me.
So, the team head off to try and find Knockout and Scandal. Whilst this is happening, I will say Steel Maxim has no luck.
It was all very quick. That's like Scandal and Maxim steal the card.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like instantly, the big godhead is just like, get out of my house.
Yeah.
And then just kicks really him out of the house. And then the house disappears. It's like, you didn't even get a chance to like... try and rectify it. It's just like no.
Yeah. So
I always love also how these cards are like, even if they're given to someone, like you know, that anyone can use them. I'd make if I was creating magical items, they'd be much more specific in their use.
Absolutely. So Steel Maxim then immediately gets dumped, picked up by the cops, and then picked up by Team Zoom.
Zoomers.
Yeah, the Zoomers. So we then cut to Knockout and Scandal Savage's house, where the Suicide Squad attack. They successfully get hold of the card. Vandal Savage then shows up and attacks. And then, because we need a reason to get Vandal Savage's location given away, he randomly goes, no, we don't need Knockout, and kills her.
I mean, you know, it's a bit random.
Whilst this is happening, we get
kind of heartbreaking for a moment.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's... Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I'm sure if we cared about this character, it would be really upsetting.
I mean, that is the biggest problem with this, is that, and with all Suicide Squads for me, is that it's very hard to have enough time with any of the characters to care, and they're not supposed to be good people.
Yeah.
So, and I have to say, this film kind of reinforced it for me. And I do feel that about Suicide Squad in every medium that I've either, you know, I've read them or watched the films. And I take on board what you said about the different live action films and stuff like that. But I feel the same about the successful film. It was more successful and I like more of them.
Mm.
But that it's still a huge issue, is they're not good people and you're trying to make me like them enough to... And the whole premise is horrific. Of what the government's doing to them. So that's nasty as well, even if they're nasty people. And it's just, it's a very uncomfortable setup, and I never really, and this film kind of sat in the middle there. It wasn't good enough to make me go, oh, actually, I see the point. And I just like going, oh, I don't really understand what's going on. I mean, I understand, but like, I can't care about them enough.
Because
I don't like them. I don't like the situation they're in. And it's not quirky, like, oh, I wonder who'll die. It's just you've just got this, so you've got a disposable cast, and I want to get to know characters I haven't met much and see if I like them or not, you know. So, but anyway, sorry, that's a diversion.
I do feel like piggybacking on that point is, with these films, there's definitely a lot of it's like, it's a lot of assumption that you know all of these characters. And so, like, and then so they just throw about 20 at you, and it's like, okay, right, well, here we go. Like, you know them, you love them, and then it's like, well, we don't.
Yeah.
Hence why, I needed to ask about Zoom.
And I think that is something very particular about these films, is that they do seem to expect. I mean, they work if you don't, to an extent, but this one's very hard to make work if you don't.
Yeah.
Because you don't see them very much. But I can imagine if I was a long-time fan going, ooh, finally get to see Bronze Tiger in animation, or, you know, Blockbuster, say, or Scandal Savage. But for me, I was just like, I don't remember their names, past.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying. If I was going to take notes, they're the notes I'd take. But it wouldn't make any difference to whether I enjoyed the film or not. And I enjoyed it to a point, but I don't think I enjoyed it as much as other people will. Like, I have a hang up about the Suicide Squad, and I'd be very open about it. It's not something I like. And I don't know why, but I think that's why. So it's very hard for me to get into it. Like, there were bits I appreciate, and I didn't hate it. It's just, I didn't care enough.
So we then get a scene that I still don't understand how this happened. So the squad get into the, are heading for the elevator. Deadshot basically holds the card and goes, if you kill me, this card is worthless, so you're not going to kill me. And yet he still, once he escapes through the elevator, throws it at them.
It's,
that made no sense to me.
It makes, like, zero sense.
Yeah, because, like, obviously I like the bargaining chip of, oh yeah, if you kill me, I will then be using this card, so it will now be null and void. But then, like, when they all get into the elevator, and then he throws it at them anyway, and it's like, what was the point in that? Because then the second that the card leaves his hand, the opposing group just start firing anyway. Like,
yeah.
So may as well just take the card with you.
Particularly since the card is your actual mission.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, as Vandal Savage gets away, Team Zoom arrives. Zoom realizes, no, we really need to track that card. So he manages to use a tracker, and then afterwards he is bleeding. Bad.
Yeah.
Which is later explained. But yeah, if you'd watched the, and obviously this is technically part of a continuing universe, so I think there's enough clues as to who, what version of Zoom he is.
Yeah.
By this point. Meanwhile, Deadshot, who up until this point has stuck to the rules and has always followed orders, whether he likes it or not, decides, oh no, I'm just going to go off and find my daughter for no discernible reason, because we need to fill 5 minutes of plot time, and we need to make Bronze Tiger the leader for some reason.
And yeah, and then with this, it was just this whole scene of him meeting a young girl. It was like, well, take the weed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you want some weeds?
So after I'm just going to skip our team, because it is literally, we need to do something for 5 minutes to show that Floyd Lawton is a caring father.
Mm-hmm.
So that we care when he succeeds at the end of the film. Which basically seems to be the plot line of all four Suicide Squad films that I've seen are basically a Deadshot or Deadshot adjacent character trying to be a better father.
I mean, yeah, that's the plot of many of these films.
Literally, the only one that isn't that is the Suicide Squad, and it's because they changed the character so that they could use Will Smith again.
Mm.
Because I even think it was originally going to be that Idris Elba was Deadshot, and they were just recasting it.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Anyway. Scandal Savage calls Deadshot and gives him Vandal Savage's location, because she's upset because her father did not appreciate her partner.
Fair enough.
Meanwhile, Killer Frost gets kidnapped and hired by Zoom after he removes her bomb.
Yeah, that was quite a sweet moment when sweet as in cool, not sweet as in nice.
Yeah.
When Copperhead is under the building, and they see the bomb, and I was like, oh no, not Copperhead, because I thought Copperhead was actually really cool. It's just kind of the first time we got to mention him.
He's actually a really practical member of the team, and he does a lot, but he has no real character. He's a guy who looks like a snake.
He just reminds me of...
very much in the background.
Yeah, there's like the Copperhead in Marvel as well, who's relatively above the Serpent Society.
But, like, I liked how there was, like, an explanation for why he looked the way he did, and it wasn't just, he was just born like this.
Yeah, he was just born a little bit like that.
Because I know Copperhead's one of these characters. There are lots of different... Look, Copperhead's more a kind of title than a character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's five or six different versions of Copperhead that have shown up in the comic books. And the only thing that all of them have in common is they're South American and they're a contortionist. That's it.
Okay, then.
So, When, yes, yeah, so the squad investigate trying to find Frost. When they find her tracker, it turns out they've linked the bomb to the gas tank, and Bronsteiker takes the worst of the blow. So Bronsteiger is effectively out for the majority of the film from this point.
That's a shame.
Absolutely. So the squad then arrive at Vandal Savage's base. They find Professor Pig dead, because why not? And Vandal Savage reveals that the reason that he got Professor Pig is so that they could surgically implant the card into him.
Mm-hmm.
Because Vandal Savage, whilst he's immortal, is not invulnerable.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure would be very interesting if they explained who Vandal Savage was.
Yeah, right.
Now, we know who Vandal Savage is because we've watched Justice League 2. But
yeah.
Just to explain to Grizz, Vandal Savage is a caveman who found a meteorite and has lived for thousands of years.
Okay.
And depending on the exact version of him, sometimes he is invulnerable, sometimes he's just immortal.
But just the fact that, like, being immortal and, like, okay, yeah, someone could probably still shoot you in the face and you'll die because that's not what that means. Like, it doesn't mean... Immortal doesn't mean, like, you can't die. It just means...
As I said, there's different versions. Some of them, he's immortal. Some of them, he is also unkillable.
Yeah, well, like, that's what he said here. It's like, he's immortal but not unkillable. And it's like, okay, well, maybe just, you know, get in a different line of work where you're not being
yeah,
shot at.
Maybe.
Probably more, you know, like, just get, like, a nice wee desk job and live out the entire, you know, eternity that you'll live instead of getting into gunfights with people.
Well, I mean, he wants to rule the world. It's not like he's that... I mean, it's... Yeah.
Adam, we all want a lot of things. Doesn't mean we get them, okay?
That's true.
So, so... We then have Team Zoom arrives. Banshee knocks out most of the team, and then Frost manages to freeze everyone. We then have...
Including shutting up Harley Quinn.
Oh dear, how terrible. So, it turns out the reason that Zoom wants Frost is so that she can lower Savage's core temperature, because he wants the card. The reason he wants the card is because this is the Flashpoint paradox, Zoom. So, Flashpoint paradox, it's the first film in this series. And right, I'm trying to think of a way to sum this up in 5 seconds.
Yeah, I don't know. When there's just like I don't know. I mean, like, there's not really much to say about it. It's just
it's the only time we've actually had definitive proof that Flashpoint ties into this to the rest of these films.
Mm-hmm.
So. Effectively, the Flashpoint paradox takes place in an alternate reality where, because the Flash goes back in time and saves his mother, it has a ripple effect that means that, amongst other things, the Batman is a different Batman who kills people. And one of the people he kills is Professor Zoom. And what's the explanation here is Zoom uses the Speed Force, which is the power that the Flash and Reverse Flash and any of the speedsters use, to temporarily extend his last moment of dying from milliseconds to weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And despite this, he is dying because he's been shot in the head.
Yeah, and every time he uses his powers as well, it kind of speeds up the process.
Yeah.
Which then shows why he was struggling throughout the film.
Yes. So, Zoom is able to successfully pull the card out of Vandal Savage before Vandal Savage dies.
Which is convenient.
So then... Right. To get this in order, Killer Frost betrays her team. She then gets into a fight with Copperhead, and Copperhead manages to pin her down as she's freezing him on top of her. So Amanda Waller blows up Copperhead's head to kill Killer Frost. Meanwhile, Deadshot, Harley, and Boomerang get free. They start turning on each other because Boomer, at this point, goes, "Wait a minute, if I'm holding the card, no one can kill me." And he's actually... And this is what I like. This Boomerang is actually smart enough to figure that out.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
So he then runs into Bronze Tiger.
Yeah.
Tries to escape with the card, only for Zoom to then attack the pair of them, beat the ever-loving bejesus out of Boomerang. Tiger is able to get hold of the card. So then Zoom gets quite crafty with it and tries to torture Bronze Tiger to drop the card.
Ooh, this was kind of grim, that scene.
Yeah,
this scene's grim. and he manages to successfully get the card. And then, by this point, Deadshot arrives in the room, points his gun at Zoom and says, "Well, I can wound you so that you won't die." To which Zoom goes, "No, you can't." Because he's got enough speed force that he can make sure that any shot against
him... It one shot.
Yeah.
Yes, it's like... what was it? It says, wasn't it like a death by like 10,000 cuts or something? Like, instead of just like stabbing him in the head or like slitting his throat instantly, it's just like chop, 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 chop. And it's just a really grim scene. Like, just all these wee, like, I mean, like, they're not wee, like, they're cuts with a knife, but it's just that all happening so quickly that it's like, clearly, like, if that was gonna happen in real life, like, the whole thing of you wouldn't feel the first one until like the 15th one hits, then it all just comes at once.
So, unfortunately, what Zoom did not realize is maybe it's not a good idea to drop a blade right next to the guy that you just tortured. Because he then...
The guy you're not sure is dead yet.
Yeah. So Bronze Tiger cuts off Zoom's fingers, so he drops the card, at which point Deadshot lights him up. And then Deadshot decides to give Bronze Tiger the card as he dies. Which, to be fair, out of all the characters in this film, if any of them deserve to not go to hell...
Yeah.
It is probably Bronze Tiger. He's the least bad character here.
Yeah.
And then
his whole sort of motto was about being good.
Yeah.
He then hides this fact when he presents the card to Amanda Waller. And it means that, hooray, Deadshot is free!
Hooray!
Yay. He did it.
So yeah, that was so that was Suicide Squad Hell to Pay.
Well, then after he's free, he reconciles with his kid. The end. Roll credits.
Hooray! That's good. That's nice.
Because you had to wrap up that little bit of story that was lingering throughout the whole film.
That's true. Yeah.
And the
we
one
cared
thing that
so much deeply about
the one thing that really really annoyed me more than anything is the fact that the two of them meet in the middle of a street and it's like, get off frickin' road.
Yeah. So yeah, that was Suicide Squad Hell to Pay, and yeah, it's maybe the better of the two Suicide Squad films. It's a film that exists.
Yeah. It just didn't grab me. I didn't hate it. It's not what I like from these things, so. But there were bits I looked up at and was like, yeah, that's pretty cool, and then carried on. And so if you like Suicide Squad, give it a watch, because I think you're right. I think it is the better of the animated ones.
It definitely is like a fun like kind of hour and a half watch, which is again, like, kind of the fact that like this was given like a little bit more time, and I thought it could have fleshed out like some of the characters better, but instead it just continued to seemingly add more and more and more characters, and it was getting slightly overwhelming.
It was
relatively fun, like good fun action sequences and whatnot.
Absolutely.
Fun romp.
So yeah, we've got so the next one we've got coming up is Lego DC Comics Superhero The Flash.
Ooh.
Which, it'll be good to see a Lego film. I haven't seen one of those in a while. Well, yeah, I think the last one we saw was the Superhero Girls film. Then after that, Freedom Fighters The Ray, which isn't actually a film, but it was released as one, so it counts. Batman Ninja.
Oh yeah, that should be fun.
Yeah, which
I know you're looking forward to it.
What's the opposite of looking forward?
Dreading.
Yes. Then DC Superhero Girls Super Villain High, which actually looks like an interesting idea. And then we have our next theatrically released film, which is Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
Have I seen that? I think I've seen that. When was that out?
2018.
I think I've seen it. I think that's the one I saw.
It's the only Teen Titans film that's had a cinema release.
Then I've seen it.
Yeah. Which I have not seen it yet.
I'll be controversial on it again, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, it's all I know about that film is it's the last film to actually come out with a Stan Lee cameo where Stan Lee was alive.
Yeah, no, look, I anything I have to say about that film is that I have zero prior knowledge of Teen Titans.
Yeah.
And that it's aimed younger than me. That's the only controversial thing I have to say about it, except, you know, like, is that everything controversial I might have to say about it comes from those two things together. It skews younger, and I have no concept of them. So I've, like, never seen them before to get their humour. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a few Teen Titan films that we've still got to watch. I'm sure there's one that crosses over those Teen Titans with the Teen Titans film that we did with Claire.
I think there is.
Yeah. So yeah, that's all that's coming up. Are you appearing in any? What other podcasts are you appearing in the near future, Rebecca?
Mostly Into the Night Moon Knight podcast, because I keep missing the Iron Fist ones. And because there's a lot of, as I was telling the guys before we started recording, there's a lot of Moon Knight comics coming out at the moment.
And Chris, is there any podcasts that you appear on at the moment?
No.
None at all.
No, none I could think of.
So,
Oh yeah, that's right. No, you're right. It's just I just tried to kind of forget about every now and again because my co-host, he's a bit of a pleb.
Yeah,
he keeps the lights on twice. He's really annoying.
So if you like Robot Combat, you can listen to the Rise of the Robots podcast, where me and said pleb have just reached 10,000 listens. Oh, isn't that a magical number?
Right.
And with BattleBots being back this week, it's a great time to jump on and see the past leading up to the present, because we will get there eventually. But yes, robots battling.
Which is, of course, why at the moment we're covering robots not battling. We're catching them having races instead.
I thought you were going to say having tea.
I mean, so we've been watching... I'm sure I sent you a link to one of the episodes. We've been watching Robotica, which is the most... It's brilliant fun, but my goodness, is it a jarring watch.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
That's right.
Despite the fact that like my thing is clearly on mute, it's making noise, so that's fun.
It's all right. I found out that my watch has a find phone function that screams "Hello, I'm here" at you, and I found this out because apparently I triggered it in my sleep the other night and woke up to my phone screaming, "Hello, I'm here," which was one of the scariest things that ever happened in my life. You think, am I still dreaming? Yeah. What is going on?
It was
really awful. And then I was trying to tell everyone else in the house, and they were like, "Oh, try pressing that find phone thing," and everyone's listening to this phone going, "Hello, I'm here," and going like, "Oh, how could?" And I was like, "Yeah, that's what woke me up the other day."
Anyway, we'll be back in 2 weeks' time. Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We are at DCAU podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share-alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.